welcome to the Fertility Conversations podcast. The goal of this podcast is to create more awareness about infertility and to provide support to people trying to conceive. Thank you for listening today, and we hope you will be encouraged. And now, here is your host, Ola.
Welcome to episode 5. So today I have with me a lovely guest, Jessica Warfield. She's a fellow infertility warrior and lives in the United States. She's the founder of Surrogacy Creations, a full-service surrogacy and egg donation agency. You can connect with her on Instagram at surrogacy_creations. And our website is www.surrogacycreations.com. All of this information would also be available in the show notes. So welcome, Jessica, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to join you today for this podcast.
Thank you. So to start off, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, yeah. So I am originally from St. Louis, Missouri, and I grew up as the only child, always dreamed of having a large family because I believe it's very important to continue growing the family tree so that the next generations will have a family support system when their parents are no longer around. Right. So, you know, with that mindset, I catered my career goals around that. And I chose a career in the healthcare industry because I enjoyed helping people, which was fulfilling to me and supportive of having a large family. We currently have 3 children. We're a family of 5.
Wow.
I have a 13-year-old son, a 3-year-old daughter, a 2-year-old daughter. So, you know, I have the combination of a teenager and 2 toddlers. So,
wow.
You know, we stay busy with them.
Yes. You can only imagine. Wow. That's wonderful. Yeah. And can you tell us a little bit about your infertility journey and how you got from there to now?
Yes, absolutely. I had my first son without any infertility struggles. Mm-hmm. And I pretty much assumed that that would be the case with, you know, my next pregnancy.
Right.
However, that was not the case. I had several fibroids, and several meaning too many to count. They could never give me a number. They just would say, you know, you have so many, we can't count them all. And I was actually advised to have a hysterectomy. And I remember thinking, well, that's poor advice to give a young woman who actually wants to have more children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at that time, I did tell the physician, you know, I do plan on having more children someday. And she told me that I should do it sooner than later because fibroids, they don't go away. They actually get worse and it may hinder my chances of having another child. So I left that visit without putting any pressure on myself to get pregnant. I just felt like, you know, everything was in God's timing and I was just going to, you know, trust God and his plan. So I carried on as usual. More time passed and nothing happened. And I was okay with that as well because, you know, mentally I'm thinking if you actually try to get pregnant, then you're going to end up stressing yourself out and it's not going to happen.
Right.
So, you know, I continue to go on per usual. However, each time I would think I was pregnant, I would get excited, you know, I would take a test, but then I would end up disappointed because the results were negative. And after that went on for a while, you know, I realized that something may be wrong. And of course I started to think, what is going on with my body? Why haven't I gotten pregnant? I'm not actively trying to, so I'm not stressing myself out. So I don't understand what's the reason. And then my menstrual cycles gotten worse. They were really, really bad. And I decided to make an appointment to think about what my options were to remove the fibroids.
Right.
So made an appointment to remove the fibroids. They actually removed over 30 fibroids.
Oh, wow.
So I had so many. My doctor, he knew that our goals were to have another baby. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was saying how he tried to get as many out as he could. But right. Later that day, I started to feel weak, I guess. I couldn't even really describe how I was feeling. I just knew something was going on and it didn't feel right.
Right.
But the nurses, they were saying that I was okay because I was able to wiggle my toes. They just kept coming back and saying, you know, wiggle your toes.
Right.
And I did. But ultimately, I was bleeding internally. And I lost a ton of blood. My blood pressure dropped to 55 over 17. I passed out at some point. I know I had a seizure before I passed out. And I don't remember everything from that point.
Right.
I woke up, I guess they did a cold blue. And I ended up waking up and I was in the operating room again. And
same day.
Wow. It was like hours later. I don't know how many hours, but I think it was like by this time, it was like the wee hours of the morning, maybe like 4 a.m. or something like that. So when I woke up, I wasn't able to open my eyes all the way, but I guess I could still see light. So I opened my eyes just a little bit.
Right.
And the doctor must have seen me, you know, open my eyes, and he told me then that he had to remove my uterus in order to save my life.
Wow.
And I just remember thinking, wow, what is going on? Like, how did my dreams turn into my worst nightmare? And I felt defeated. I thought I was going to actually die. I prayed to God, and I asked for him to just look over and after my son, and that, you know, his will be done. And I was okay with whatever that outcome would be. I kind of get emotional thinking about it because I was actually okay with dying at that moment because I thought that that's what God wanted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just rested my mind. And at some point, you know, I passed out because I was under anesthesia. But I was happy to wake up. And I'm getting kind of emotional thinking about it because that was very traumatic. And, you know, maybe I need to see a therapist about it because I never talked about that. And every time I discuss it, I get really emotional.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I woke up and I was happy to be alive. And the doctor told me that they were able to stop the bleed without removing my uterus. But I would need to see a reproductive endocrinologist if I wanted to have a baby. Mm-hmm. And that was okay to me as well, because in my mind, I was thinking, I'm going to get twins.
Like, yeah, I know.
I was like, oh, well, this is the perfect opportunity for me to get those twins, you know? Oh my God, I was so naive because I really thought that. I learned that my job actually paid 80% of the IVF costs.
Wow.
Yes. So that kind of motivated me to start having a baby sooner than later. Because I'm thinking, let me take advantage of this now before they change.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, we went to our first consultation, and that's when we found out that I needed a surrogate. And for me, hearing that was very disturbing because I didn't really understand enough about surrogacy to even consider it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of slightly insulted that he suggested that, you know, we have a surrogate, because I just was thinking, like, who does that? You know, and I was younger than I am now, but, you know, I'm in my early 30s and I'm thinking early to mid 30s. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm a young Black woman. What makes him think that I can afford surrogacy? That's something for rich celebrities. Like, you know,
yeah.
Is he like pranking me? So I just wanted to leave that office. And so I left and was very emotional on the way home. I felt crushed. And I didn't want to give up on my large family goals. I did not want my son to be the only child. But I didn't know what to do. So of course we had multiple opinions from different reproductive endocrinologists. And they all said the same thing. They all suggested that we have a surrogate. Now we did try IUI cycles, because that was part of the benefit packet. If you did 3 IUIs, then our insurance would pay the 80% of IVF. So I kind of want to backtrack that. You know, we did try the IUI, and obviously those cycles failed. So now back to the surrogacy journey. So anyway, when they were suggesting that, I felt that we couldn't afford that. And that was out of our reach. However, I could not give up on my dreams of having more children. So what did we do? We worked 2 jobs. You know, we lived below our means. We saved. We, you know, we didn't shop, we didn't travel. It was a lot of things that we sacrificed so that we can save for our surrogacy journey. And we transferred 2 embryos, a girl and a boy, but only the girl implanted. So we had our first daughter via surrogacy in 2017.
Wow.
And, it was a great experience. I mean, you know, I was stressed the whole time because I wasn't physically carrying her. But the good thing is I had a good relationship with my surrogate and we spoke all the time. So I did feel close enough, you know.
Like you're part of it.
Yeah, so that was wonderful. And, you know, I was like, okay, we did it once. We could do it again.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we did. We, you know, we continued to live below our means and save. And we ultimately did it 3 times. We got 2 daughters. And our last journey, we ended up losing our son. He had a rare birth defect called an anaphyseal, where his intestines grew outside of his abdominal wall. And that causes some digestive challenges for the fetus as they're developing.
Right.
But her membrane ruptured right at, what was it, 22 weeks. At 22 weeks. And it was very hard, because I think at 20 weeks, we learned that he had the anaphyseal. Didn't know what that was, so was trying to wrap my head around that. And then once I kind of, we were advised to abort, but I didn't want to do that at all. You know, so once I started to feel comfortable with the anaphyseal and understand what it was and how it could be treated, that's when her membrane ruptured. Now that came with some more emotions, because I'm like, what's going to happen now? The baby is going to be born soon. And again, we were advised to abort, because of the safety of the surrogate. You know, her safety was at risk. And I made the decision, you know, to go ahead and abort, because to me, her safety was more important. I didn't want to prioritize my goals above her life. So I told her, you know, go ahead and, you know, just abort. But she called me back when the doctor left, and she was like, I don't think we should abort. Oh, and I'm like, really? Oh, wow. And she said that she didn't really want to abort. She had a good feeling that she can carry him longer, and that he would actually, you know, make it to viability, 24 weeks. So we did not abort. 2 more weeks to the date at 24 weeks, she delivered him. But his lungs didn't develop well. So ultimately, he didn't make it. He passed 2 days after birth. Thank you. But I was able to see him. I flew to Sacramento, which is where she was. But it was hard because I went by myself. My family, they were still home, because we got the call in the middle of the night that our baby was being born. And I just rushed out the house and got on the first flight with the intentions that my family would come, you know.
Later.
Yeah, later. But it didn't go well. We had him on life support. We had him on everything to try to save his life. And the doctors were telling me that they're going to give me a severely disabled baby if he makes it, like if he does make it, even though they didn't think he would. Mm-hmm. But his stats were so bad. There was no way he was getting enough oxygen and blood circulation throughout his body. But I couldn't think of just, you know, cutting a cord. I just couldn't. But God made that decision for us. God, you know, he is totally in control. And that's what he decided. And of course, I wonder why. I think we all wonder why when we suffer from infertility. We wonder, why is this happening to us?
Yes.
And I have accepted it. I accepted my son as our guardian angel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's pretty much, you know, my journey with infertility. I've experienced it all. I have experienced natural birth with my son. And I did fail IUI cycles and surrogacy, and even the loss of a child. And that's what's bringing me here into this industry of reproductive and infertility.
Wow. That's such a, you did go through so much. But we thank God for your lovely children.
Yes.
That you have, yes.
Yes, they're wonderful. Oh my goodness, they are wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we had 2 surrogates and they did an amazing job with our babies, and they are perfect.
Are you still in touch with the surrogates? That was the...
Yes. My first surrogate, we are friends on social media.
Okay.
And every once in a while, we will reach out to each other just to see how we're doing. My second surrogate, we are a little bit more closer. I don't know, maybe it's because she carried for us twice.
Okay.
And we are closer to her geographically. But yeah, I talk to her all the time. Not just about the babies, just about life, whatever. You know, mm-hmm. We have a really good relationship, and I think we'll probably be friends forever.
Wow, that's amazing. And during the whole journey, how did you find support? Was it through family or friends, or did you have other people going through something similar? Or
okay, so thank God for my immediate family, my fiance and my son. They were very, very supportive. Wow. We did not share our struggles with everybody. So a lot of people did not know. So, you know, we were suffering in silence. Okay. But my fiance was very, very supportive. He was the reason why we actually moved forward with surrogacy. Because to me, I was thinking, no, it's out of reach. Mm-hmm. But he convinced me that we were able to save enough money for a wedding and a down payment on a house. Yeah. So we could just take that money and use it towards surrogacy and save the other half.
Wow.
So he was very supportive. My son was supportive of it. I explained to him. Now at the time he was probably, I don't know, 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. But he knew, see, the thing was, he knew we couldn't do certain things because both of us, we started to work more.
Okay.
And I felt guilty about that because my son wanted to run track. And I told him, we can't do that right now. It's too much of a commitment and we both have to work. So we don't, you know, we can't juggle all of that. But we kept him in football, which was his first choice of sport.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, so we try to balance it with him, you know. And he knew there were certain things that we couldn't afford. He knew that we were saving money and he was okay with that. He was very excited. Now, it's funny because our friends and family, they knew we were working a lot. He worked two full-time jobs. I worked a full-time job and a part-time job.
Wow.
We had nothing to show for it. Like, we didn't have a nice fancy car. We didn't have a nice big house. We didn't travel.
You're probably wondering, what exactly are you using them?
You know, I had a friend, she was like, Jessica, you make really good money. Why are you working so much? And my second job, you know, I heard there were rumors, like, she's working like this so she can support her fiance. It's like, nobody understood why we were working like that. And I just chose not to talk about it in the beginning because it could be a very exhausting story when you tell people, oh, we're saving for surrogacy. What? Surrogacy?
Yeah.
What's that about? How does that work? Why do you need a surrogate? And it was just like, I don't want to have to explain that over and over and over. So let's just do what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. We knew what our goals were, you know. And of course, I shared it with a few close friends and family, and they were supportive. And then once we told people, they were very happy and they had all the questions and I was in the right place to answer because of course I'm excited. I'm having a baby. So I'm like, yes, let me tell you all about it.
And this is why I work so hard.
Exactly. Now they're like, oh, okay.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. And it's amazing that from that experience now you chose to start Surrogacy Creations.
Yes.
What made you do that?
You know, I really owe it all to God. I believe it was all part of God's plan. I think that's why he chose me to be an infertility warrior. He wanted me to experience the pain that comes from infertility and the loss of a child, so that I can take that pain and turn it into something greater than myself.
Wow.
And that's exactly what we're doing through Surrogacy Creations. I turned my pain and my passion for family and helping others, and I turned it into my purpose.
That's amazing.
You know, God knew that I would help others build their families and advocate for them. He knew I would overcome my obstacles so that I can have a story to tell that would inspire others And because of that, surrogacy creation exists. We want to help others and let them know that we understand what they're going through. We understand their desires to have a family. And I'm all about family. I love family. I'm very passionate about family. So not only are we going to try to help you with your family goals, and we're going to try to help you get the best surrogate and egg donor, but we are really excited. It's like, we're excited that you're going to have a baby. We want you to have a baby, just, you know, just as much as you do. I think it's a beautiful thing, growing your family. You know, a lot of people, I think, in today's society, they value materialistic things. You know, I think they would rather have the nice fancy car, the clothes and everything, and maybe not have any children because children are expensive, and they want to use, you know, their income to support a lavish lifestyle.
Right.
But for me, family was more important than any more children, and versus having a luxury vehicle that doesn't, you know, motivate me. Right. Family motivates me. So I'm really excited to be in this business. I'm excited to see people grow their family and make their dreams into reality.
Wonderful. So your surrogacy creations offers the surrogacy services and egg donation. Is that what you do?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Wonderful. And I know earlier you mentioned when the doctor told you about surrogacy, you wondered how, if it was a prank and why would he be saying that to you, because of the expense of surrogacy. And even for me, myself, when I hear surrogacy, I just think, oh, wow, that's so out of reach. How are people able to afford it? I mean, in your case, you worked, yourself and your partner worked full time to be able to, and other jobs as well, to be able to do that. But for people in general, is that what they have to do then, or does any insurance cover it?
So there's different ways that you can afford surrogacy. Mm-hmm. Most insurance companies, they do not cover the cost. However, a few may. You just have to, you know, you just have to figure out and call your insurance company, but most of them do not. But there are other options. Financing is available. Okay. You can take out personal loans. You can finance the whole surrogacy journey. But a lot of people, what they do is they take out a personal loan, or they take out money from their 401k. They take out a home equity loan. They work multiple jobs, like, you know, like we did, and they sacrifice and save. There are grants that are available that can help lower the cost of surrogacy.
Right.
You know, I kind of look at it like, you know, people, they purchase a home, they go to college and they have a college tuition. Some people buy very expensive luxury cars.
Yeah.
And most of the time, they're not paying for it all at once. They are financing it. They're paying a mortgage on their house. That's the same thing you can do with surrogacy if that's what you choose. So it just depends on what you're willing to sacrifice, and to what extent are you willing to go to have your baby. So that's pretty much how people afford surrogacy. You can save, you know, it could take you 2-3 years or 4 years, but ultimately, if you are disciplined and you save the money, you'll get enough money to afford surrogacy.
Thank you for saying that. Well said. It's good for people to know, because I think, again, the general idea about surrogacy is just so out of reach. So it's great to know the options available to people in terms of getting the money. Now, I know that you said that with your surrogates, you're in contact with both of them. And I know earlier you mentioned that you are being updated about the pregnancy. So I wonder, with your agency, do the people, the intending parents, do they get a choice of who the surrogate is, or does your agency select it for them?
No, they absolutely get a choice. We interview our intended parents. So we talk to them about what they're looking for in a surrogate. Mm-hmm. We get a feel for their personality and what their purposes are. And we try to match them with the surrogate. So we may provide a certain amount of surrogates to them so that they can meet via, you know, Zoom or telephone. We send them their profile, and they'll talk to the surrogate, and then they decide if that's somebody that they want to carry their child or not. If the surrogates that we presented to them, if they are not a fit, then we continue to find more, and you know, until we can find a great. Some people do it for altruistic reasons. That's not very common. Most people are compensated, and you have people who may apply because they're doing it for the monetary value of it.
Right.
But you can tell, you know, because the surrogates, they have to qualify. Anybody can't be a surrogate just because they have a child already. Mm-hmm. You have to have some type of financial stability. You can't be on any government assistance. And that's where the agency comes in. We screen them. We do a home visit. We want to see, you know, how are they living? And most of our surrogates, they work, and we get copies of their pay stubs. Mm-hmm. So we can see that they are gainfully employed. And we need to have copies of their pay stubs, because if they claim lost wages, and the intended parents have to pay them, we need to know exactly how much they're making so we can reimburse them.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know, we have surrogates who are nurses, teachers, social workers. But when you get the surrogates, they don't have a job, they're on government assistance, they would not qualify.
Right. Okay. So there's a lot of background work done before actually selecting surrogates, which is actually wonderful. And I understand.
Right. You do.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say, you do a psychological evaluation, a criminal background check, home visit, you know, you interview them, you talk to them, you get to know them, and then you make a decision if you want them to move forward with your agency or not.
I see. Okay, I guess that's a big advantage of using an agency then, as opposed to doing it yourself, just, you know, meeting a friend and saying a friend should help you out. It's the agency gets to do a background check for you and try to, as much as possible, to protect you from potential issues.
Absolutely, because a lot of people, they start to use their friend as a surrogate, and their friend back out, and now they lost money because they started the process, but then the friend decide at the last minute, no, this isn't something that I want. Right. And we can kind of tell, we can screen them. We know the patterns of flaky surrogates. Mm-hmm. They're not consistent with their communication. You know, it's just different things where an agency would be beneficial helping find a better surrogate.
Okay, that's wonderful. Good to know. I'm not sure how it is in the US, and I wanted to talk to you about that actually. I know that in each country is different. Some countries surrogacy is legal, some it's not legal. And I know I checked about the US, and I understand there's no federal law regulating it. So each state has its own laws, pretty much. So some states are surrogacy friendly, some are not.
Right.
So if a family is living in a state that is not surrogacy friendly, do they then have to travel? Or if you have a surrogate from another state, Like, how does that work in terms of?
Mm-hmm. So we do not accept surrogates who live in the states where surrogacy is banned. So like Michigan, Arizona, and Nebraska, those are states where they're not surrogacy friendly. The surrogates cannot live there. We would not accept them. New York used to be in that category, but they just recently passed a bill where surrogates can be compensated, and that will be effective February of 2021.
Okay.
So that's just how that works. You have to live in a surrogacy friendly state.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Once the surrogate has the baby, the intended parents assume the role as the legal parents. Unless they don't have a pre-birth order. So a pre-birth order is something that is established before the baby is born and is signed off by a judge that states that the intended parents are the legal parents of the child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with our son, we did not have a pre-birth order because he came before we expected.
Oh, I see. And, okay, yes, of course.
And usually the pre-birth order would be available by 24 weeks, but that was, you know, it was kind of my fault. I just did not see that happening. So when I had reached out to my attorneys to file the pre-birth order, I didn't do it in a timely manner, I would say, I guess. I mean, I was just off by a week.
Yeah.
But that week mattered.
Yes.
So, yeah, and then the course were, so me being off by a week and the course were a little bit delayed, the PBO was not available when she gave birth. So they did not recognize us as the intended parent, as the legal parent.
That's right.
They knew, the staff at the hospital, they knew, but they could not process the birth certificate until they had that. Otherwise, they would have had to put the surrogate's name down.
But
fortunately for us, they waited and we got the pre-birth order, maybe less than a week. Okay. After his birth.
So pretty quickly, they do process that pretty quickly.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if you have that pre-birth order, you know, the baby, they treat you as if you gave birth to the child.
Okay.
You know, you get your own room in the hospital. You make all the decisions. The baby leaves with you.
Okay. That pretty much, that helps then to be able to get that all sorted before the baby's actually born.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I mentioned this to you earlier. I mean, we talked about this. I'm not sure if you actually saw the movie, the When the Bow Breaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my idea of surrogacy. I mean, for people that haven't watched the movie, it's just basically a couple experiencing difficulty trying to have a baby. The wife had multiple pregnancy losses, and then they opted to use a surrogate, who later became a little fixated on the husband, and things went a little bit crazy from there. Now, have you heard of anything like that in real life or at all? I mean, or is this just a movie, Hollywood
dream? It's just fictitious.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I watched that movie with my first surrogate, actually.
Oh, okay.
And so we thought it was very comical. We were like, really? Really? Come on, really?
I was afraid. I was like, can people actually do this? Can you use that? Like, you know, it's just, but okay, it's good to know.
I will say this, even though that movie was very dramatic, it did not highlight surrogacy in its true form.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible where you have your surrogate live with you. Now, that's not something that we normally do or we encourage at all. But I'm saying as far as in, let's say it was a sister or something and she lived with you already, or if it was somebody that was close to you, you know, But surrogates, like I said, especially when you go through an agency, you don't know those surrogates. It's not right. A personal level. It develops into a personal friendship if things go, you know, well. Right. But surrogates, they have their own family. They have their own place to live, you know. But the movie, it was entertaining.
Yeah, it was. But,
yeah, you know, and she didn't have a job.
And yeah, okay, true, I yes.
There was some, she has some legal rights per the movie, and that's not true, not if it's a gestational surrogate.
Okay.
So, yeah, so.
Good to know. So I know you said your agency does, of course, surrogacy, but also donor conception. And mm-hmm. I mentioned this to you earlier that I always see articles about there not being enough Black donors or from African descent or Afro-Caribbean donors. So I just wonder if this is the same with what you find in the States and mm-hmm. what perhaps could be done to change that.
Right. So it's better than it used to be. Before, like, you know, 10 years ago, you didn't see as many African-American donors or surrogates, but now you see more. It's right. still not as much as other races, like the Caucasian race, but what we're trying to do to improve that is, you know, bring awareness to our communities, talk about it, share right. our stories, and bring awareness so that more people understand the need of Black egg donors.
Right.
And, you know, we're optimistic that we will start to see more. But right now, we have them. You know, you may not have the best selection as far as, you know, because you're limited. You may have right. a fewer to choose from. And if none of those donors are satisfying to you, then you just probably have to wait until we get more. It's just like with the surrogates or any donor or any surrogate, the more restrictions you put on your requirements,
right.
the longer it may take to match you.
Okay. And do you think also part of this issue in terms of not having enough egg donors is maybe the false idea that Black people are more very fertile, so perhaps people don't even know that there's this yes. issue.
Yes, I definitely believe that. I definitely believe that people aren't aware of it because they think that Black women are very fertile.
Right.
But again, that's why we want to bring awareness so people can realize that's not the case.
Right.
And then hopefully more women will speak up and they don't have to suffer in silence.
Silence, yes, that's so true. And it's amazing, again, how your agency was born out of your experience. It's just amazing that now you're now able to help so many other people to get their own dreams of having a family. That's mm-hmm. just amazing. Yeah. So knowing what you know now and after everything you've experienced, what will you tell your younger self? What advice, piece of advice would you give your younger self if you could go back in time?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would not be so naive. I probably would have sought after medical advice a lot sooner.
Right.
And I probably would have tried to grow my family sooner than I did. But, you know, I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this was the way that God wanted me to live this path. But I think the most important thing I just would tell myself is that God is in control. I'm not in control. even though I planned for having this very large family by a certain age, and you know, I had all these ideas of what my family would look like, but I would just tell myself, you know, everything is within God's control, and you know, just make the best out of it.
Yes, well said, very well said. And I know earlier during the conversation you mentioned about therapy and all that, but I feel that you also being on Instagram on the TTC trying to consume community, you telling your story and sharing with other people also helps you to, do you think that maybe this also helps you in terms of healing? And
I think so. I really do, because it was something that before I became more involved in the infertility community, I didn't speak about. It was something that that happened, and I just moved forward. I didn't talk about it. It was no reason to talk about it. But now when I tell my story, it's a part of my journey. So I am discussing it more, and those feelings are raw when I speak on them. So I think talking about it more will be healing and therapeutic for me.
Yes, I totally agree about that. And just to actually go back to your reference to you saying earlier that you thought automatically when the doctor says for you to do IVF that you're going to have twins. It's amazing how so many of us think that, right? It's almost like a guarantee. I'm going to choose a girl and a boy. I'm going to choose two boys or two girls or whatever. You know?
Absolutely.
If you only knew. So
and then we didn't even get twins. Like,
yeah, I
it's like, what kind of, what is this? Like,
how is this IVF? This is not supposed to be, right?
This is an IVF, right?
I know. There needs to be more awareness, yeah? Go ahead.
Every time, you know, you hear IVF, you automatically think, oh my goodness, you're going to have triplets or quadruplets. You know? We're happy if we get one.
I know. There just needs to be more awareness. Just let people know it's not, you know, it doesn't equate to twins or triplets or whatever. It's just,
exactly.
And it's not guaranteed either. But
it's not, right.
They don't tell us that, no.
Right. And that's why, you know, again, like going back, telling myself stuff, trust God, trust God, trust God. And, you know, I do. But we all sometimes start to question and wonder and worry, you know, but we just have to trust him, because I did not want to even start the journey in the beginning, because I'm thinking, yeah, we worked hard for this money. We saved this money, but we're going to waste it if it doesn't work.
That's what it seems like, right? Sometimes you're like, I just threw that money away because.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my fiance, he was saying like, but what if it does work?
Oh,
he kept saying it.
Bless him. That's amazing. That's an amazing man.
Shut up. Yeah, I'm gonna tell him, shut up. He's like, but what if it does work? And I'm like,
oh. that's amazing. I love that he did that, because otherwise, you know, you just, when you're used to so much, you know, things not going your way, you're just like, oh, whatever, right? It's probably not gonna work. And then you wouldn't have this two beautiful daughters that you have now. So
right,
thank you to him.
Yeah, you know, I thank him all the time, because I'm like, oh my goodness, he was very supportive. And you know, he just reassured me throughout the whole time that it doesn't matter if we you know, if we don't have a baby, he's not going to leave me, because I would say to him, you know, you're probably going to want to be with somebody who could give you children, because my first son is not biologically his child. So I just felt like, you're probably going to go with somebody else. And he would say, absolutely not. I would never leave you. You know, amazing. So he was very supportive, and he was my, you know, he provided the calmness in this process with me.
And that's so important.
But I was going to say, I would tell people who are facing infertility struggles to do everything you can without harming yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you know when to step back, because like we were saying earlier, you know, you're putting your body through this process.
Yes.
We go through procedures where it can be life-threatening, and mentally it can be very depressing and hard yes. on us. But, you know, so make sure you're kind to yourself, but do what you have to do to achieve your goals. Make the sacrifices, save, educate yourself. Know your options, know your resources that are available, and try to go after the family that you always wanted. Because in the end, you're either going to be successful and you're going to be happy that you accomplished your goals, or you're going to at least have the satisfaction knowing that you gave it all, you know, that you could, versus having second thoughts later saying, oh, I should have done this. I could have, or I would have, you know.
Yeah. You That's know. Amazing. Well said. Thank you so much. That's wonderful advice and words of encouragement. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. So that brings us to the end of this section. It's really been so, it's been so inspiring. You're a very strong woman. Virtually warrior, you went through so much, and you came out on top, and just giving back from your experience, that's just wonderful. I think, like you said, everything happens for a reason. So God had a reason for your pain and a purpose for it, and now you're living it. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. And you know, what we go through, it makes us stronger. I am fully okay with everything that I went through. I accept it now. I understand that I had to walk that path so that I can be the woman that I am now, so that I can be the vessel to help other people who are struggling, who don't know, you know, what to do or where to go. It's, you know, it's mentally draining.
It is, yeah.
So to have people that can support you would be very helpful, you know, throughout your journey.
Yes. And people hearing stories like yours also encourages them and inspires them and lets them know it's possible and there are options out there and you can get what you dream of having.
Yeah, be open-minded. And that's probably another tip that I would give people. Be open-minded, not closed-minded. And, you know, you can have an egg donor, you can have a surrogate, you can have an adopted child. You know, you can live life without a child. You just have to be open-minded and realize that even though you wanted it to go a certain way and you imagined that it would go a certain way, that's not the case always. So you have to let that go and be open-minded to the way that God is trying to bless you, you know, because ultimately, I'm a believer, obviously, but ultimately I believe that it's God's decision. What we want is one thing, but if that's not what God wants for us, he's going to have his way. And we have to be, you know, we have to be open-minded and willing to listen to what he's trying to tell us.
Very well said. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Jessica. This has been an amazing session listening to you and just having you share your story. Thank you so much for coming. And again, to everyone listening, to connect with Jessica, if you want to talk to her more about her story or you just want to connect with her or about her agency, you can reach her on Instagram at surrogacy_creations. Our information will also be on the show notes, so you can reach her at any time. Thank you so much again, Jessica, and do have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you, and I appreciate you having me on this episode. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Fertility Conversations podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Fertility Conversations. If there are any topics you would like to have discussed, please send an email to fertilityconversations@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. Thank you again for listening. Take care of yourself and do stay hopeful.